It's 7 o'clock and time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show with your host and moderator Dana Rodriguez and Lori Fisher and Kira Pace.
You ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
Thank you very much, Joanne, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend and can spend a little time with us tonight. I know the Oscars are on opposite this show, but it all sounds pretty predictable to me, so yeah.
We're better.
And this show is anything but predictable.
And they should see how we're dressed. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Also, the Oscars are so much better when you can fast forward through all the commercials.
That's
so
true. That's true. All the highlights will be on YouTube later anyway, so what's your big, who cares? Anyway, we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Our lines are open right now. It's a great time to call in. Sometimes we do get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, but if you call in now, we will get you on right away. And we'll be, as I said, this is an audience participation quiz program, so of course, you know, we're inviting in every way possible your participation. Not every way possible, but there's a limit. But there's two numbers.
At least three ways.
Three ways. Okay. Yes, that sounds great. Area code 415-841-4134. So area code, again, 415-841-4134. Or toll free, yes, there is a toll free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. I worked at the White Elephant Sale today for the Oakland Museum, as I do every year, in the electrical department. I'm happy to say I ran into a couple of people that actually listened to the show.
Nice.
And, yeah.
How were sales?
I couldn't believe I was in such a menial position, but that's fine.
It's humbling.
I said it keeps me humble.
Yeah.
It keeps me humble. But so anyway, that was a pleasure to meet some of our listeners out there. And, yeah, it's a lot of hard work, but it was great. We raised a lot of money for the Oakland Museum. So.
Hey, you look exhausted. So
I am exhausted.
Yeah.
But not too exhausted.
We'll get you
show.
Through.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. I need all the support I can get. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, yes, the old-fashioned email, MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's right. See, Kira was holding up her finger. I think that's the reason she was holding up her finger.
Which finger? I wasn't watching.
Yeah, wait a minute. I have to look at that again. So mindsovermatter1, that's the numeral 1, at gmail.com. Also, if you want to listen to the show anywhere in the world, so you could do that simply by going to kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, it should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight, also at kalw.org and iTunes and et cetera, et cetera. So all that being said, we will start, as I said, with a round of introductions. Here's the first. Kira Pace was almost late for a trivia engagement because she was at a different trivia engagement that started after yet another different trivia engagement. It's not a problem, and she can stop at any time. Admitting the problem is always the first step.
I don't have a problem. You have a problem.
Sounds like you have a trivial life, but that's not how it seems to be. Yeah.
I can stop.
I can stop
drinking
at any
time.
So, feeling a little bit jealous about missing the Academy Awards tonight, Lori Fisher was pleased to be greeted by the full red carpet treatment as he entered the KALW studio.
Except the door was locked.
That was part of the red carpet treatment.
Yeah, that's right.
The fact that the carpet was in the parking lot covering mud puddles and potholes only made things that much more glamorous.
All right.
They were.
I have to say, your heels are in fantastic condition.
They are. Well, I changed when I got inside, as people do.
Okay.
Yeah, sneakers outside, heels inside. The name of our moderator is Dana Rodriguez. His stripper name, however, is Good and Plenty.
All right. Thank you very much.
Wow.
And just to remind you of those two numbers, give us a call as soon as you can. Area code 415-841-4134. Again, with a question or answer, 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. We will begin with Kira Pace.
All right. So in honor of the Academy Awards tonight, I'm just kidding. I have no Oscar questions.
You know, I'm going to stop just for a second because I got an email this week from somebody named Carlton Hoffman, who always accuses me of never answering his emails. And his point...
You can break the streak now?
Yeah. His point was he was sick of Academy Awards questions.
Ooh.
He says, haven't you asked every darn Academy Awards
question.
What's
his name? Carlton?
Carlton.
Carlton. I have no Oscar questions this evening, so.
Carlton, so, I do have unanswered
I don't questions. Either.
All right. So two-thirds of the questions will not
it
be
Oscars.
Made
me self-conscious about it.
Well, I'm glad he wrote you and not me.
All right. Okay, I'm sorry, Kira, go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. So I have, if you will indulge me, I have two leading questions, neither of which are about the Academy Awards, and then a list.
Right.
So what comedy troupe subtitled their 2013 tour, One Down, Five to Go?
2013?
Yes. Comedy troupe that subtitled their 2013 tour, One Down, Five to Go.
Is this a long-time comedy troupe, like Monty Python-ish, that kind of deal?
Is it Monty Python?
It is Monty Python.
Oh, it's more than ish.
More than ish.
Because of Graham Chapman.
Yes.
Oh, one had died. Right. Okay.
That is exactly right.
Oh, I didn't take my bill off.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute.
Ding. Well, ping. I'll be the machine that goes ping.
All right.
And then at the 1959 Emmys, who presented the Total Mediocrity Award to recipient Lionel Klutz?
Is this real?
Well,
so this is
this
not,
really happened.
Wait a minute. It's not an Oscar question, but you're asking every question.
Well, it's a 1959 Emmy question.
Okay. So it sounds like Jonathan Winters.
It's not, no.
Okay. So say the award again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the 1959 Emmys, who presented the Total Mediocrity Award to recipient Lionel Klutz? And I'll give you the introduction to the award. The person who was the presenter said, and I quote, "There will be a lot said here tonight about excellence, and the creative and the artistic and the skillful will all be recognized and rewarded. But what of the others in the industry? There are men in the industry who go on year in and year out, quietly and unassumingly producing garbage."
Hmm. Little has changed.
That was 1959.
Yeah.
1959 Emmys.
Yeah. So you want to know who
presented the Total Mediocrity Award at the 1959 Emmys to recipient Lionel Klutz.
Is this a well-known comedian?
I'd say so.
How about Steve Allen?
No.
Sounds like something he would do because he made fun of TV early on.
No. I will remind you that my questions and then the leading into this list, they all follow a sort of theme. So if you don't get it right away, maybe that'll help you a bit.
It's like Merv Griffin. We're doing theme shows now.
Yep.
Ooh,
yeah.
Monty Python.
Okay. Oh, so Monty Python. There's a connection between Monty Python and...
Sort of. Well, let me give you my list question.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. So in 2015, Rolling Stone published a list of the 40 greatest sketch comedy shows of all time. Okay. What's in the top 10?
The Kids in the Hall.
The Kids in the Hall, yes. They are number 8.
All
right. Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live is number 2. And we've already had number 1, which is...
Monty Python.
Monty Python's right.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll do one more, maybe.
I don't know about
How about SCTV?
Not in the top 10.
Really?
Oh. They were in the top 20, not the top 10.
Right. Oh. I like them.
Yeah. I like them
much.
A lot.
Yeah. Okay.
And then how about, I guess, one more. Fridays. Fridays? You don't know Fridays?
I do not.
That's not even in the top 50.
Oh, and Michael Richards' first show was quite good.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It was really kind of edgy. Yeah.
All right.
But not in the top anything, huh?
Okay. No, well, at least not in the top 10.
So
all right.
We have 3 of the 10, right?
Yes. You have Monty Python, SNL, and Kids in the Hall.
All right. Laura, you go ahead, too.
All right. Well, with somewhat apologies to Carlton, because he'll be working on the Emmys question. I do have an Oscar question.
All the abuse comes to me. You know.
Three billboards outside Ebbing, Montana.
Missouri,
has the numeral 3 in it. And so I did a little research on titles that are nominated that have numbers in them. And there's a lot. I would like you to name one picture nominated for Best Picture. And once you get the category, wipe it out. 0 through 6. In other words, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Give me one title that was nominated or won.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah,
one
for
the whole cast, or like the main cast.
That takes the whole cast. That had the most. The number 1 has 7 in it. And so that, we can name more of those. But
42nd Street was nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, but
we're not it had to win?
No, it didn't have to win, but we're not going up to 42. We're just ending at 6.
Well, there's a 4 and a 2 in it.
Well, we're not looking at it like that.
And you said there's a 0 as well?
There's a 0. And also, I will accept things with Roman numerals or if the word's in it. So 8th and 9th.
Oh, like Godfather 3?
Yes, but that wasn't nominated.
Oh, Okay.
I can.
But that would
Godfather
be.
2.
That was nominated.
Yes.
So okay. That we have 1 and 2. We have One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Godfather Part 2.
3 is the one that doesn't exist.
No, right? It exists.
Oh, no,
it's the horrible
exist.
One. Okay.
Right, that's...
Shh, be quiet for a minute. I think I hear Carlton Hoffman typing an email to me.
Well, Steve, so we're looking for 0, 3, 4, 5, and 6. We're looking for an Academy Award nomination that has any of those numerals in it. And Kira got 2 of them.
All right, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Good.
So today we're going to talk about ancient Greece instead of Egypt, okay, for a second.
You're going to talk about it.
Yeah, okay.
We are.
All right. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
So this very common word we use in sport, it translated in ancient Greek to naked exercise.
Gymnasium.
Naked. Very good. How
Excellent.
Did you know that? Okay. Very good.
He exercises in the nude.
You guys are very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Second question. In ancient Greece, if you love somebody and you want to marry them, you threw something at them. Yeah, well, it's not a big thing. It's actually like expression of love.
Can you pitch it like some woo? Because that's a type of throw.
An object.
I call shenanigans on that not being accepted.
Is it food related?
Yes.
So it wouldn't be rice because I don't think rice was even.
No, that's the reason. The rice actually comes most from Chinese.
Right.
Souvlaki.
Well. I can't resist asking.
What about dates?
Egypt.
Dates? Like a fruit of some sort?
Olives.
How about, I'll give you a hint, because I'd like to ask one last question about ancient Egypt.
All right.
Okay, it is a fruit.
I said it was a fruit.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Okay, what fruit, then? That's
a fruit.
And Kira, you guessed dates,
Well,
right?
I guess dates, but maybe fig, then, or?
Grapes.
No, the wouldn't trap it. You know, something beautiful. Something could look like a heart.
A tomato?
Tomatoes.
No,
they didn't have tomatoes.
Yeah. They didn't have tomatoes.
They came from the tomatoes came from the New World.
Yeah.
Looks like a heart.
What looks like a heart?
More
radish.
You know.
No, I don't know.
Round.
Round like a heart.
Round.
Very common. We'll have to eat it.
Nectarine.
And it's Mediterranean, right?
Yes.
No.
Mm-mm. Apple.
Apple.
An apple. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Very good.
Okay, very quick last question about ancient Egypt.
Yes.
Lovers called their loved women by this name. I mean, men. When they fell in love with a woman, they had a label for her. What was the label? They called her something. Not a lover or wife. Before they get married, they called her something. What did they call her? Men. Calling the lovers.
What did they call? Is this also food related?
No.
So is it a term we use today still?
More or less, yeah, but not between lovers.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you the answer because I want people to get sister.
Really?
Sister.
Yeah.
Okay. And women call the lovers brother. Yeah, well, you know, that time it was legal for brother and sister to be married. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ed.
Bye-bye.
All right. Just to remind you again, the two numbers to give us a call with a question or answer, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. So, as you no doubt read in the paper, Billy Graham died and, sad to hear that. I don't know. They let him, lie in state in the Capitol, Rotunda, which is pretty unusual. So what I'm going to ask is, who was the first person to lie in state in the Capitol Rotunda? It was not a president. 19th century, obviously. Who was the first person to lie in state in the Capitol Rotunda? And who was the first woman to lie in state in the Capitol Rotunda?
Yeah. Was the first woman Rosa Parks?
The first woman was Rosa Parks.
Wow.
Very good.
Excellent.
Matter of fact, the only woman.
Yeah, and one of like only 3 civilians or something like that.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
5 civilians.
Five
total?
Civilians.
Including
that
Billy
wasn't
Graham.
My question, but there are 5.
Okay, so we're looking for the first one. 19th century.
19th century. Who was the first person to lie? It's a famous name. It's nobody obscure. But this person was not a president.
Is it a military person?
It's not a military person.
Is it a vice president?
It's not a vice president.
Or somebody who was a somebody who could take over the presidency if it went down to it?
It was somebody who had been in the cabinet on and off a couple of times, but that's not what they're most famous for. Mm-hmm. But yes, it is a very well-known name in 19th century American history.
Is it somebody in the judiciary?
No.
Okay.
No. So think about that.
Yeah.
All right. Second question. What American author, now this is the key word, American, what American author created the literary character most portrayed on film? So there are authors who, non-American authors, who created literary characters that have been more portrayed on film, like Arthur Conan Doyle. But what American author created the character, literary character most portrayed on film?
The single character, so we're not, it's not a collection.
Correct, of single character.
That's an excellent question. All right.
I can't think of who it might be, but could it be Mark Twain?
It is not Mark Twain. Because it had to be a single character.
Right.
And Huck Finn just hasn't been in that.
Yeah, I mean, that's been made many times, but not enough times.
So we should think of the character. So if it's like Sherlock Holmes, there's the, you know, Sam Spade.
Well, American, does that also include, say, comic book artists like Superman?
Oh, yes.
Is it Superman?
It is not Superman. Okay. So I'm looking for the author's name.
Oh, author's name.
So it's a single author. Superman had two authors, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Siegel and...
But it's...
I forgot the other
But
one.
It's not them. But
it is not them.
Okay.
No. So again, what American author, that's the key word, American, what American author created the literary character most portrayed on film? So there, as I said, there are British authors like Arthur Conan Doyle who created Sherlock Holmes, who has more examples there, but...
Would we be wrong to think of this as being on film as animated? So somebody like Mickey Mouse?
No. Okay. It's not animated, but it has been... this character has turned up in animation.
Like Superman would be animated,
yeah,
also real
but
life.
Primarily live action.
All right.
And so the second question, or first question, was who was the first person to lie in state in the Capitol Rotunda? 19th century, it's a very well-known name. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, Sparky Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
I was thinking your question, Dana, author, how about like Edgar Rice Burroughs?
Yes, Edgar Rice Burroughs.
That's it.
Thank you.
Tarzan.
Oh, right. Hold on. Oh, you got your bell. Okay, good.
Yes.
The question about nominated movies with numbers in it. How about Five Easy Pieces?
That's number five. Yeah, that's one of the three with five. Excellent.
Thank you. All right. Kira, sketch comedy shows. How about Key and Peele?
Yeah, that's number five.
Nice.
And I'm thinking,
oh, and Jordan
who
Peele?
Gave that mediocrity award?
Yes.
Since you mentioned comedy teams.
Mm-hmm.
How about Nichols and May?
Yeah, well, you'll have to pick one. Which one was the presenter and which one was Lionel Klutz?
Oh, okay. Well, I would say the presenter was Elaine May.
You are correct.
And so, therefore, it was Mike Nichols being the recipient.
Yep.
And we're done.
Thank you very much.
Very nice. That is all. Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. We have a couple of lines open. Area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134. Or toll-free 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And Kira, it is your turn.
Okay. So as of the 30th of August, 1983, American engineer Guyon Bluford Jr. holds what distinction?
In August 30th, what was the...
August 30th, 1983. American engineer Guyon Bluford Jr. holds what distinction?
Guyon Bluford Jr. Is that year pretty significant? Like he invented... Like, we should be looking at something that happened in the 80s?
No, in the way that I think you mean, no.
Okay.
Is the fact that he's an engineer have any bearing on this?
Yeah, I think so.
Is he an aeronautical engineer?
It does have to do with aeronautics, yes.
Was he the person to travel the fastest as far as breaking the speed of sound on
Earth?
Oh,
no, like right stuff kind of thing. Yeah. No, no.
Okay. Well,
but you are on the right-ish track.
Is it like how many miles he had flown?
Nope.
Okay.
I'll say that 1983, the fact that it took until 1983 kind of makes me sad, but 1983.
Makes you kind of sad.
A little sad.
It should have happened before that.
Yes.
All right. Just read the question.
Did you say he was the first person to do this? Like the first?
I said that he holds a distinction. And we have, but I will say that, yes, he was the first. The distinction does begin with the word first.
Did it have to do with his race?
It did.
Okay. Was he the first African American pilot for a major airline?
No.
But are we getting close?
Is he the first African American to break the speed of sound?
No. A little higher.
Speed of light?
No.
I don't think we're there yet.
As far as I know.
Only on Star Trek.
First African
Star Trek, much closer.
Yeah. Oh, Star Trek is closer?
Yes.
Well, sort of. Astronaut?
There you go.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
First African American in space.
Wow.
All right.
83. Okay, yeah. That's good.
Okay, ask another question.
All right. This one's a list question, so get ready to write a couple of words down. Ready?
Yep.
Blue, strawberry, pink, harvest, super, blood, worm, and long nights. And that's apostrophe S, possessive.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Lucky Charms for the first couple.
Blue, strawberry,
yeah.
Pink, harvest, super, blood, worm, and long nights. This is a list of words that are used to describe particular full moons.
Oh.
What full moon does each of those words describe?
Blue. Well, that's the song Blue Moon. Once in a Blue Moon.
Mm-hmm. But what is a Blue Moon?
A blue moon is two full moons in the same month.
The second one.
Yeah. That is correct.
All right. Strawberry moon. Go over the list once more.
Sure. Well, we have blue. So strawberry, pink, harvest, super, blood, worm, and long nights. And that's possessive apostrophe S.
Harvest moon is in the fall. Usually is what when they work the long hours to bring in the, you know, stack the hay and
the
all
harvest.
That. During the harvest.
Right. But
they use the moon, the bright moon, to work.
You're right also that it is the fall, but there's a little more to it.
Is it the equinox?
The equinox, okay. That's correct.
Oh, who cares about that?
The supermoon, we just had one.
Mm-hmm. And what is it?
Isn't it three things at once?
No, you're thinking of the super blood. It was like a super blue blood moon that we just had.
Yeah. That's not on your list?
Right.
super blue and blood were not together.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a super moon is one thing, a blood moon is one thing, and a blue moon is one thing. So
a warm moon I've never heard of.
It's cool. All right. Laura, you go ahead.
All right. So I'm sticking with the Academy Awards, even though. So Dunkirk is nominated.
Carlton, I know.
Well, we have other callers who like these.
All right.
Dunkirk is nominated for an Academy Award.
Yes.
And there are 5.5 other movies that have a European city name that were nominated for Best Picture at some time. What were they?
Oh, it has to be in Europe, huh?
I'm just going Europe. I have a different question for American. Just in Europe.
Munich.
Yes. 2006.
How many did you say there were? 5?
There are five, and there's one that's kind of halfway there. They've made the city's name an adjective in the one that's halfway there.
Oh, wait. Well, is it in Bruges? Was that ever nominated?
It was not.
Okay.
Not for Best Picture.
Are London or Paris involved?
Maybe. If so, figure out which films they'd be.
Right.
Oh, like Roman Holiday?
Ah, that's okay. The half one, Roman
there
Holiday.
There you go.
Very nice, 1953. Right. Kara's getting the numbers. Kara. All right. So we're looking for 4 more cities in Europe.
I'm tired. I've been working on
this. I know. You have. The White Elephant sales ticket at Stoll.
I know.
So we're looking for 4 movies nominated for Best Picture that have a European name in their title. We have Munich and we have Roman Holiday.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
Umbrellas of Cherbourg comes to mind.
That's a good
It comes to mind, but it wasn't nominated for Best Picture. Yeah.
I think it was nominated for Best Foreign Film.
I think it was, but I'm not counting that.
All right.
I have a short story and question about San Francisco history.
Okay.
You may be familiar with the Rust Building downtown on Montgomery Street.
I am. I've seen it.
It was the tallest building in San Francisco until 1964, mm-hmm. and for 30 years was the tallest building west of Chicago. It is called Russ, after the name of the family that had a hotel on that location. Mm-hmm. The Russes were German immigrants who came from Europe to New York in the early 1840s. And started a business there, which was modestly successful for several years. When they were suddenly wiped out in a burglary, had no insurance, and Mr. Russ had no way of supporting his then 9 children, except to go into the Army. He and his 2 eldest sons did so, and the Army was glad to accept them because they were prosecuting a war against Mexico at the time. And they were assigned to the post at Presidio. So all 11 Russes took ship from New York round the Horn and landed at Presidio and reported for duty and worked in the Army there for about 3 months when they quit the Army and started a business in San Francisco, which was so fantastically profitable to them that they were able to buy a whole block on Montgomery Street, which was then the waterfront, and built the first hotel in San Francisco. My question is, what was their business and talent that allowed them to earn so much money so fast?
I didn't know you had a podcast.
So the question,
well, this was a short story.
That was very interesting.
How'd the Russes make their money, right?
Yes.
That's the question.
So was it anything illegal?
No.
Okay. And
you said it was a hotel?
Yes.
Okay.
So you want to know how they made their money?
Yeah.
Yes.
Anything to do with the gold rush?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's something to do with the gold rush.
Did they sell, equipment and...
No.
No? Okay.
That has nothing to do with mining or anything like that.
All right. But it has something to do with the gold rush.
Yes, absolutely.
Is something they turned the gold into, like teeth or jewelry?
Something they did with the gold.
But not
teeth. Did they bank the gold?
Excuse me?
Did they bank it?
No.
Not holding?
They weren't bankers. Okay.
Did they turn it into something that, you know, other than currency?
No.
Okay.
Huh. Okay. It's nothing illegal.
No.
They didn't mint it in some way?
Oh, that's a good guess.
Not minting it, no, but that's sort of close.
Oh. Hmm. Not minting.
We need a hint.
Is it something done by the government today?
No.
Is it still done today at all?
Absolutely done today, yes.
Did they make it into the bars? Did they put it into the bars?
No.
What about jewelry?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
I thought I said that.
They were jewelers.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that jewelry or teeth?
Oh, I just said teeth.
Early on. Yeah. Anyway, so very good. All right.
Interesting.
So, how did they make their money?
Oh,
it's not over yet. I'm sorry.
Wait,
the bell.
Wait, there's more.
The
we thought we were done. So they sold the jewelry.
No.
They made, when people came back from the mines with their. With their gold,
their samples.
Their samples.
Mm-hmm.
Did they test? Were they the people that tested for the purity of the gold?
They were the only people in San Francisco who knew how to assay gold.
Assayers, yes.
Ah,
okay.
Very nice.
Good job. Good.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Sorry
our answer took so long. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace. semi-retired teacher, Lori Fisher, Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And those two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's see, it's my turn, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to give you two questions. The two longest-serving congresspeople from California are both from Northern California. So in the history of California, the two longest-serving congresspeople from the state are from Northern California.
Is Feinstein?
Feinstein is not one of them. This is longer. Congressperson, senator.
Okay.
So you're thinking of it in the greater sense.
I thought Congress
included
the Senate.
This is Congress.
Okay.
The House of Representatives. So who are they? And the names are not obscure.
How many years are we talking about?
40.
Whoa.
That's a lot of years.
40 years and no days.
How about Jesse Unruh?
No, he was never a congressperson.
Oh, he was state.
He had a lot of different
jobs.
Yeah,
he was the state. I was thinking state. Okay.
Right. So the two longest-serving congresspeople, matter of fact, some of the longest-serving of all time, happen to be from Northern California. Who are those two?
Are either of them still living?
Yes.
Both?
I'm not going to say right now.
Right. Is either one of them still in Congress?
No, neither one is still in Congress. All right. Or neither one.
Pajamas.
Yeah. So, who are they? Who are those two people? The names are well known to you, I think. Second question. This is not an Academy Award question. I'm going to give you six James Stewart character names from his films. And he had such a long career, I figured I could do this kind of question. So I'm going to give you six different character names of different James Stewart films. I want you to tell me the film. That's all there is to it. So, number one... They're all very well-known films. Number one, Dr. Ben McKenna. Again, these are James Stewart films. I'm going to give you his character names. You tell me what the film is. Number one, Dr. Ben McKenna. Number two, Paul Beigler. B-I-E-G-L-E-R. Number three, Ransom Stoddard. Number four, Thomas J. Destry, Jr.
Destry?
Destry. D-E-S-T-Y. Or D-E-S-T-R-Y, sorry. Number five, Mike Connor. And number six, Buttons. When he played a small terrier. Again, these are James Stewart character names from his films. Tell me the film. Number one, Dr. Ben McKenna. Number two, Paul Beigler. Number three, Ransom Stoddard. Number four, Thomas J. Destry, Jr. Number five, Mike Connor. And number six, Buttons. You want to guess on any of these?
I do not. I'm sorry.
All right.
I have one for sure and one maybe.
Give me the for sure.
Paul Beigler is Anatomy of a Murder.
That's right. He was really good in that, too.
He was
That's
great.
A good movie.
And was Dr. Ben McKenna the man who knew too much?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Give me a couple bills.
All right.
I have a guess on the congressman. How about Barbara Lee?
It is not Barbara Lee. No.
Mm-mm. She hasn't been in Congress for 40
years?
Not
for 40 years.
Mm-mm. All right. I thought she was.
Probably there's a good chance that she will be in Congress for 40 years.
Yeah, I thought she was. And on the sketch comedy question?
Yes.
How about the Carol Burnett Show?
Yeah.
All right.
That's number seven.
All right.
And
speaking of which, let's, since we're a little past halfway through the show, let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. So, Kira, you go first.
All right. In 2015, Rolling Stone published a list of the 40 greatest sketch comedy shows of all time. What's in the top 10? And we already have Monty Python's Flying Circus, Saturday Night Live, Key and Peele, The Carol Burnett Show, and Kids in the Hall. So looking for five more. I also have some words that are used to describe particular full moons. What full moon does each word describe? And the ones we have left are strawberry, pink, super, blood, worm, and long nights.
And I am looking for four more movie titles that were nominated for Best Picture that have the name of an actual European city in the title. We have Munich and Roman Holiday. I'm looking for four more. And I'm looking for also nominations that have the numbers 0, 4, and 6. I stand corrected. The Godfather Part 3, I just looked, it was nominated.
Was it?
So I'm taking that off the list, too.
All right.
Okay.
Well, so then I won't guess another one. Then.
So we're left with 0, 4, and 6. Those are the two I have left, plus the European questions.
So the first part is just films that were nominated. They don't have to have won.
I believe one of them won, and
yeah,
the rest
0
didn't.
Has won, right? 0 won. The Zero has won an award, or did it just win Best Director?
Zero was nominated for Best Picture but did not win.
Okay, just for Best Director then.
All right.
Yeah, but I'm on. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And let's see. My questions are, who was the first person to lie in state in the Capitol Rotunda in Washington, D.C.? It was a famous American who was not a president and not a military person, although this person had military experience, but not primarily a military person, who was the first person to lie in state in the Capitol Rotunda. And I gave you some James Stewart character names from his films. I just want you to tell me the film. The ones we have left are Ransom Stoddard, Thomas J. Destry Jr., Mike Connor, and Buttons.
Oh, I know Buttons, too.
Okay,
I know
stop.
Two more of them.
All right.
I'll hold off.
All right.
Yeah.
And let's see. Did I say the two longest serving Congress people of all time happen to be from Northern California, 40 years, both of them. Who are they? And they're well-known names. So let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi. This is Fran from San Francisco.
Hi, Fran.
Hiya. Is Soap one of the comedies?
No, that was more of a sitcom, a satirical sitcom than a sketch show. Okay. It was a good show, though.
It was a great show, I know.
Yeah.
The Red Moon, The Blood is a Red Moon?
It does tend to show up as red, but there's more to it.
Okay. I don't know anymore. I'm going to ask you a question.
All right.
If I can put it together here. George Harrison sang a song called My Sweet Lord. He was sued because they said he took the song from another song that had been written and sung. I want the name of the original song that sounds like
it's,
My Sweet Lord.
He's so fine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and he lost the lawsuit. Yeah. From my understanding. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
he did.
I think so, yeah.
You know so much. I'm going to ask you an easy question. I want to know who sang the song Born to be Wild and what movie it came from.
Born to be Wild. Kira, you want it?
No.
Steppenwolf
Thank
was the name
you.
Of the group.
And Steppenwolf.
Yeah, and it was in Easy Rider?
Yeah, you got it.
Good job.
Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's what people say about me.
Born to be wild?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Not yet.
What happened? All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom, not from Oakland still.
Hi, Tom, not from Oakland still.
Yeah. For the Oscar movies, the numbers, how about Zero Dark 30?
That's the zero one. Very
oh,
good.
That's a very good.
Nicely done.
Very good.
And it's the 30 one also.
It is, yes.
Sketch comedy shows. How about Laugh In?
No. Oh. No, that was in the top 20, just not in the top 10.
How about Your Show of Shows?
Yeah.
That's nice.
That is good. Number 6.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Good.
And The State, the other one that I'll guess.
No, that was in the top 40.
What was
it? Lower down.
What was the guess?
The State.
The State. It's an MTV sketch comedy show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, with a lot of the people who do Wet Hot American Summer and
Right.
99 involved in those.
Sure,
later.
Reno 911.
U.S. author with a literary character most on film, would that be the whoever came up with Dagwood and Blondie?
No, that actually got answered. It was Edgar Rice Burroughs who wrote Tarzan.
Shoot, okay. A blood moon is a full moon during a lunar eclipse, I believe.
Yeah, well, a super moon.
Like right before the eclipse.
Yeah, that is correct.
And the city names, the Oscar city names, I'll guess a couple. How about Judgment at Nuremberg?
Yes, 1961.
Very good.
Very nice.
Yay. And American in Paris?
Yeah, that's a winner.
Very
1951.
Good.
Very good.
And let's see, Mike Connor, I believe that was from Call Northside 777.
It is not from Call Northside 777.
And I don't think any of the other ones were. Shoot. All right. Trying to think if I have a question. Let's see. It's an Oscar-related question. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
Don't apologize.
Okay. Don't apologize. Yeah. It's okay with me. It's just...
every film that Stanley Kubrick made from Paths of Glory on was nominated for at least one Oscar, except for one film. Can you name which one?
Is it Barry Lyndon?
Lyndon.
Nope.
Lyndon, sorry.
That
Lyndon,
was nominated.
No, that was
maybe
nominated.
Even for Best Picture.
So every film from
Paths
what?
Of Glory.
Paths of Glory on. So
was nominated for something? Is that
for
what you're
at least
saying?
One Oscar, yeah.
What about The Shining? I know that critics hated that.
That's correct. Yeah, that,
oh,
it didn't
okay.
get any Oscar
right.
nomination.
Very good.
All right, thanks. Oh, and I'll guess I'm the congressperson. Is that Jackie Speier?
It is not Jackie Speier, no.
Yeah, Speier. Okay.
And thanks from the booth, somebody is guessing that was the week that was for the sketch comedy show. Is that one
no.
of them?
No.
Yeah, sorry.
No.
Anything else? Was that it? Oh, I'm sorry, we lost you. Okay. Just to remind you again, the two numbers here, if you want to give us a call with a question or answer, area code 415-841-4134. That is 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. And Kira, it is your turn.
Can I take a quick crack at Lori's question on the cities? Is
yes.
that acceptable?
Put it out of its misery.
What about a couple of Paris ones, like Midnight in Paris or Last Tango in Paris?
Midnight in Paris, yes.
Okay.
Not Last Tango in Paris.
Not Last Tango.
Interesting.
Right. Give her a bell on that one.
All right.
Okay. Along, okay.
No. What about Barcelona?
None.
Oh,
that
okay.
Vicky Barcelona Wait, didn't.
No.
No, the Woody Allen film.
Barcelona. No, the Whit Stillman, right? Oh, the guy did Last Days of Disco.
I don't know that it didn't turn up when I saw it.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
So we're looking for one more European city, and we're looking for 4 and 6 as the numbers that are left out.
I like Whit Stillman, but he never gets nominated for Best Picture.
It's shameful.
Yeah. And okay, Carrie, it's your turn, Carrie.
All right, this is a two-parter art question. So highfalutin.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Currently at the Tate, though not on display, is a piece entitled The Future of Statues. It's a plaster reproduction of an earless death mask on which has been painted a deep blue sky and white sunlit clouds. Whose death mask was used in this piece, and who was the artist?
So this was an actual death mask that the artist created?
Well, it was a reproduction. I believe, and I haven't done a ton of research into it, but I believe that he actually might have gotten the reproduction elsewhere because there were several reproductions
of this
death mask.
Well, it sounds like
yard sale.
Yeah. Oh, was it the White Elephant sale today?
Could
have been up for a song. So it sounds like something Magritte would do.
The blue skies and the puffy clouds, yes, it is Magritte.
Right.
And whose earless death mask?
I'll leave that to Dana.
So, may I ask when this person lived, the person whose death mask it, or, you know, a copy of whose death mask it was? 19th century?
Yes.
So, is earless significant? Is it Van Gogh?
No, and I was worried.
They didn't have ears on death masks.
Right.
They just didn't cover that part.
Right, they're all earless.
They're all earless.
Okay. This person's death mask is earless because there's like a whole story behind it. There two people were involved in the making of this death mask, and the person who did the front sort of secreted it away from the place of death and then went and sold a ton of copies before the person with the back could.
Did they know the Russ family
before
they made the hotel in San
Francisco?
Right.
They were jewelers, yeah.
This is a non-royal person.
You know what? I think that is extraordinarily fair to say.
Okay. It's not somebody
so it's
like,
a real non-royal person.
Like,
it's a real person, yes.
But a real non-royal person. So that's how I took your tone.
When you say, wait a minute, give me a second. So when you say, with emphasis that this is a, it's very fair to say this is a non-royal person. Is it somebody who did not like the royal family, such as Oliver Cromwell or Guy Fawkes?
You know what? I'll say it's kind of along those lines.
But she said 19th century, right?
Yeah.
So
Cromwell's, she did.
Yes, she did.
Yes.
But who would be the, okay.
So, 19th century.
Is the person controversial, like an Oscar Wilde kind of person?
Was this an assassin of some kind?
No. It's much easier than that.
Okay. So not a notorious person.
This person's notorious, I'd say, but...
My first guess, I was going to say William Blake. But,
here's my clue. But, he's a complex person. That is an awesome clue.
Freud.
No.
That's an awesome clue. Huh?
It is an awesome clue.
Is the dead person British?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't know why we've been
doing
that.
All right, leave it out. Let me think about
it. Okay, it's a complex person.
Mm-hmm.
Oedipus.
No. But, yeah.
Well,
no.
That shouldn't get a look.
No.
He has an earless
death mask. Not in the 19th
century. Yeah, he's not real.
No.
Oh, it's the wrong century. That's right.
And we've called me on that. So let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, okay. Name's Phil, and I'm in San Francisco.
Hi, Phil.
And my guess at the first person that may have laid in state in the rotunda, Benjamin Franklin?
Not Benjamin Franklin. A little bit after that.
Oh, okay.
So mid-19th century.
Okay. Movie title, and no clue as to whether it was in the running or not, that has a number in it, Capricorn 1?
It was not nominated for Best Movie. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Good guess, though.
It
has a one.
It was quite the stir, though, as that, to...
that's the O.J. Simpson
movie.
What do they
call that? Yes. Reality versus conspiracy.
Indeed.
Right.
Okay, in the comedy shows, how about Sonny and Cher?
Oh.
No. That's a good guess, but not in the top 10.
All right, so then, to my questions, the definitions of lunatic... or lunacy?
Mm-hmm.
Your panel has the answers on those?
Well, they have like, something to do with the Kara's moon question.
Yeah, my moon question.
Well, they believe that kind of disturbance in the person was affected by the moon.
Yeah, the moon, full moon brought that out.
Right.
There's a lot of myths about
lunatic
that.
And
maybe
lunacy.
Even true. Yeah.
Right.
Is that what you meant?
Yeah, although I think... sort of connotatively, back when it was more popular, it was just thought of as, generic, crazy-type person.
Mm.
Anyhow, in the Zodiac, the Western Zodiac, which Zodiac sign has something to do with the moon? Oh, historically. Not currently, but historically. By label.
By label. By label.
So we have a dozen current names.
I'll go with mine. How about Leo?
He had something to do with the moon.
I'll just go with my sign.
Well, that's mine, too.
Okay. Dana and I are going for Leo.
Yes.
Oh, what about the hunter? Who's the hunter? Sagittarius?
Nope.
No?
We don't know.
Mm-mm. Oh, Cancer. Cancer used to be known as moon children.
Really?
Oh.
And they decided to go with Cancer?
That's what I've been told.
All right.
I totally appreciate your show and, bless you all and happy year of the dog.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that very much.
Okay, then. Bye-bye.
I can tell you a little thing about Capricorn 1 because when I went to Russia for the first time, which would be about 1981, and that was the only American movie they let play in Russia. In the Soviet Union.
Capricorn 1?
Because it made us look bad because we had faked the moon landing.
Yeah, that was the premise.
That
of the
was
movie.
What they showed. Yeah. That was the American movie they were showing to
That's
the
really
Russians
great.
There. Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, let's see. Lori, I think it's your turn.
Okay, so we have time for this. Mm. This is a Kira thing. It has a leading question and then a longer question. Before this is
a compliment. I'm sure
it is. No, before they reined it in, there was one category in the Academy Awards that could have unlimited nominations. Mm. In one year, this category had 14 nominations. What was the category? After that, they made it back to five.
Was it Best Picture?
No. They always limited that to 10.
So how long has it been since they did that?
1945 was the year of the 14, and they ended it the next year.
Interesting. It's a behind-the-scenes award, I take it.
No. No-ish.
It's not behind the scenes.
Okay.
So you would see evidence of this. Well, you see evidence of everything on the screen.
Oh.
So it's not like editing. It's a creative award.
What about song? Best song?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, there were 14 songs nominated, and then Jerome Kern said too many. And I'll skip ahead. They changed the rule. So the song had to be original. It had to be written for the movie.
Right.
Had to be in the movie. Or, and I found this out, or the first song during the end credits. You can be nominated if you're the first song. But I came across these four winners, all famous people. I want to know what they won the Academy Award for Best Song for.
Mm.
Frank Lesser, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Lerner and Lowe, and Bacharach and David. Each won one Academy Award for Best Song. Kira's got one.
I know one. Bacharach and David. Did Raindrops Keep Falling in My Head from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid?
Excellent. Yay. 1969.
All right. Rodgers and Hammerstein did It Might As Well. That's right. It Might As Well Be Spring from State Fair.
Very nice. That was the year there were 14 nominations, and it won. Very nice. So Frank Lesser and Lerner and Lowe.
Frank Lesser. Was the Frank Lesser one from Hans Christian Andersen?
No.
That's interesting. How far back are we talking? What decade are we talking about?
The decade for the Lesser song is the 40s and 50s, and for the Lerner and Lowe, it's the 40s and 50s as well. The clue on the Lerner and
Lowe... Well, Lerner and Lowe is from Gigi, isn't it?
Well, which song?
I think it's Gigi.
It is.
Yeah.
So that all the other songs were from the play. That was one they wrote for the movie. You funny little good for nothing Gigi.
No. That's Mimi. It's funny little good for nothing Mimi.
Oh, who's Gigi? Gigi. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're just looking for Frank Lesser.
All right. It'll come to me.
Yeah, two numbers, one city, and one Frank Lesser.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, okay. I have a question.
Okay.
What California site was the source, the producer of the most mercury of any site in the world for decades of its existence?
Say that once more. I want to make sure I understand. Go ahead. Just repeat it, if you would.
There's a location, a mine, basically.
Right.
In California, which produced more mercury for decades than any other world.
Wow. Well, I know they used to use mercury in gold or silver mines to separate?
Both.
Yeah.
Both. I think it dissolves the gold and silver out of rock.
Right.
Quartzite.
And that's not what you're referring to at all?
Well, that was probably the reason this site built up so quickly. Right. But it later made mercury, you know, for like street lights and whatever,
right.
Thermometers. It closed in 1977 or 1978.
Wow, that's late. Is it in Northern California?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it must be up in the Sierra someplace. Not necessarily.
It's in the Bay Area.
Oh, it's in the Bay Area. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
There are more than 50 miles of tunnels under that site.
Wow. In the Bay Area.
How about
Livermore?
Beautiful place to hike. It's a 5.3-mile historical trail through it. And should I tell you?
Yeah. Is it right on the coast by any chance?
No.
Okay. No, we don't.
Is it Livermore?
Should I tell you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's the New Almaden site in the Almaden area of South San Jose.
Oh. Wow. So what? Okay, all right.
Can people go in those tunnels?
There is not very far. There's only one entrance that is left open, and you can only go, you know, like 50 feet.
Oh, all right.
Unfortunately, but you know, tunnels are hazardous. And,
right.
And the shafts are covered. I mean, there were vertical shafts and horizontal tunnels.
Oh, all right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
Try it. Check it out. Bye.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me this time?
It is you this time.
Oh, my goodness. I got to mute my radio.
All right.
I got to pick up my notepad.
All right.
All right. We're excited.
Okay, a supermoon is when the moon is the closest to Earth.
That is correct.
Oh, very good.
Perigee full moon.
Did you have the blood moon when it's an eclipse during the moon?
Yeah, supermoon lunar eclipse.
Okay, and did you have Ron Dellums as a congressman for a very long time?
It was not Ron Dellums.
Oh.
Okay. And is a worm moon a full moon right after the rain so we can get a lot of night crawlers?
That's a good
guess. That's a great guess, and it's a little similar to the reason why it's called worm moon, but nope. The worm moon's a fixed moon.
No, I don't know anything about it. What about a long night moon? Is the full moon closest to the summer solstice?
Long night? You're so close, but you have one word off.
Okay, winter solstice.
There we
go.
It's the last full moon of the year closest to the winter solstice.
Okay. Just as Disney is a franchise for amusement parks, so is Six Flags. What does Six Flags refer to?
The Six Flags that were over Texas.
What were they?
They were France, Mexico, the country of, or whatever, the Republic of Texas. United States.
You said Mexico.
Right? Mexico, France.
Spain.
Spain, there we go.
And
One more. I don't know the last one.
Moldova.
Oh, you don't know it? Moldova.
Oh, yeah.
Wakanda.
Wakanda, yeah. Let's see. Who would be the last one?
I don't think it's a union jack. That would make no sense.
Spain? Mexico?
Well, you don't know, so we could say anything. I'm going with Canada. All right.
There you go. I'll take Canada. Right. They're good. Right. They haven't offended anybody. Okay, one last thing. How about the congressman? It wouldn't have been Pardee, would it?
It was not Pardee.
Well, I would want to say Pardee on the air because he was the mayor of Oakland. I think he was the governor of California.
He was.
I know he was a United States senator.
He was.
And his name is Pardee.
Right. Pardee.
Yeah.
Very good.
He's the Andrew
W.K.
He got
the party line.
Last name was Hardy, too.
Yeah.
And
the party line.
Thank you. All right, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Next call. Hi, you're on. Sorry.
Okay, I'd just like to make a correction from the beginning that brother-sister marriage in ancient Egypt was very, very rare. It really happened only between the, royalty, between the, the king and queens and all this. But the word sister to brother was actually used as a lover. So when you called your lover a sister, it didn't mean it's on your own sister. That was used. And by the way, the word sister is derivative from the ancient Egyptian word for sister, which is cyst.
Yeah.
Truly.
Oh, I had one of those
the
ones.
Same.
Oh, brother.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Time to clean up. Kira?
All right. Moon words. A strawberry moon is the full moon on the summer solstice. A pink moon is the full moon of April. And a worm moon is the full moon in March. So worm moon coming off the news. The 40 greatest sketch comedy shows of all time. In the top 10, we have Mr. Show was 3. Chappelle's Show was 4. Yeah. In Living Color was 9. And The Muppet Show was number 10. Mm. And finally, the Magritte was indeed the artist. The Death Mask was the death mask of Napoleon.
The earless death mask.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Movies that have numbers in them we didn't get. We didn't get 4, which has Born on the 4th of July, 4 Weddings and a Funeral, and 4 Daughters. And 6 goes to The Sixth Sense. The city in Europe that has a movie title in it that we didn't get was Grand Budapest Hotel.
I like that movie very much.
Yeah. And Frank Lesser wrote one of my favorite Frank Lesser songs.
Excuse me.
Baby, It's Cold Outside in
Neptune's
Daughter.
Yeah.
Great, great song.
All right. Let's see. The first person to lie in state in the Capitol in Washington, D.C., that was Henry Clay. Henry Clay, Speaker of the House, Secretary of State, et cetera, et cetera. The two longest-serving congresspeople from two of the longest-serving congresspeople of all time from Northern California were Pete Stark, that was my congressperson for a long time, and George Miller from the North Bay.
Yeah. I'm going to get buttons for James Stewart. He was in The Greatest Show on Earth.
The Clown.
Yeah.
Yes. He was in clown makeup for the whole movie.
Yeah. He was a hiding killer or something.
That's right.
Like that.
Well, he was
a doctor.
He had mercy killed his his wife.
And Destry must be Destry
Rides. At
least
that was his claim.
Destry Rides Again. Is that Thomas Destry?
That is Thomas Destry, yes.
Yeah, I figured. Okay.
Ransom Stoddard is the man who shot Liberty Valance.
Oh, that's right.
And Mike Connor, that is his Academy Award winning performance in The Philadelphia Story. So, if we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My thanks to our panel, Kira Pace and Laurie Fisher. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks to Joanne Marr for handling the board and phone tonight. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We will be here next week at 7 p.m. We hope you will join us. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate your company. Bye-bye.